Praise God. This morning, amen, today is Sunday, August the 4th. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Revelation with me today. Book of Revelation and chapter 21. Revelation 21. And when you get there, God bless you. When you get there, I'd like to start with verse number 3. So Revelation chapter 21, starting with verse 3, and we'll read down to verse 5. And the word of God says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Amen. Let's pray today. Father, we bless you today, and once again, we truly lift your name on high. We acknowledge you as God. We acknowledge you as the source and strength of our lives. Yes. And Father, as we look to you now, we pray that you will speak now from heaven, and that, Father God, that you will enlighten our eyes of understanding, that you will cause us to see things and to understand things that we haven't been able to up until this point. Father, we thank you now, O God, that you will fill our hearts with wisdom, that you will give us revelation. And so, Father, we bless you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I just bind right now the hand of the enemy that will attempt to interfere with your work being done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind him and we cast him from our midst. And Father, we pray right now that you'll loose angels from around your throne to come into the place and to minister your grace. Father, we thank you, O God, that as the atmosphere is set, your perfect will shall be done. Yes. Father, I ask you now to use me for your glory. I humble myself under your hand, O God. I decrease that you might increase, that everything that transpires, Father God, if it's praiseworthy, the praise belongs unto you. And so, Father, we give you thanks and we give you honor now for all that you're going to do, all that you're going to speak unto us. Give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we read Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. Our title today is In Times Like These. In Times Like These. And I'm standing here, and we're here right now on this Sunday, August the 4th, 2019. And as we're here, America, and in particular, is waking up, as Brother James has alluded to yet another mass shooting. Yesterday morning in El Paso, 20 people, at least the last report that I read, were killed. 26 or so were injured in a shooting in a Walmart in a shopping mall. 20 people like you and me who have, on various occasions, have gone into a Walmart or into a mall to run an errand to buy some household items, to buy a toy for a child's birthday, or to buy a card, or get something for your car. How many of us have made those types of trips? How many of us can relate that there were some people who left the house and said, I'll be right back. I'm just running up to Walmart. How many times have words like that come off your lips as you went out to the store, be it Walmart or to Wawa or to Macy's or to, you know, Bed Bath and Beyond? In other words, just to the store. How many of us have gone to the store, right? And we just know for a certainty, I'll be right back. There were many people, I'm sure, yesterday said the same thing, and they didn't come back. And that happened yesterday morning in El Paso. And less than 14 hours later, in Dayton, Ohio, there's another shooting in a place in the downtown area that we're told is popular with residents and with tourists. And 9 people were killed in that shooting. And this is coming during a week in which another 2 employees in Mississippi Walmart were killed by a disgruntled employee. And a week after 3 people were killed out in California at a garlic festival, including 2 children. And when these things happen, there's certain things that, and here's the thing, let me back up. And these things are happening far too much in the United States of America, the so-called greatest country on earth, the most civilized country on earth. Happens far too often. And so because it happens far too often, there are familiar things that we hear in times like these. We hear familiar things, familiar thoughts, familiar comments, and familiar reactions. And we heard some of them this past, in the past 24 hours. How could this happen? One of the politicians from El Paso said, I never imagined that something like that could happen here. So what we hear is, how could this happen? We hear, where was or where is God? Why did God allow this to happen? Why didn't God stop it? Those are things we hear in times like these.
Yeah.
And then in some perverse way of somehow trying to be comforted, our minds also go to who was the shooter. And it seems like there's always this common thread and this rush to talk about how troubled the person was. He was troubled. He was angry. He was a loner. But no one ever wants to say he was demon possessed.
Exactly.
Because that doesn't... We want some other explanation that our human minds, that our fleshly minds can wrap themselves around so that we go, okay, he was crazy. He has some screws loose. He has some problems. But see, if we thought about it, we need to understand that all of us have screws that need to be tightened. All of us have some problems, and all of us have issues. So if loose screws and issues and problems explain that, then we need to understand we got some trouble on our hands, because we all fit that bill. But we don't want to go much deeper than that. But here we are again. And so how could this happen? How could this happen here? Well, first of all, evil is in this world. How many of you know that?
That's true, man. That's
this true. Is a fallen world.
Yes, it is.
It is a sin-sick world. How could it happen? How could it happen here? Because there's not a place on the planet that's immune from the presence of evil.
True.
Paul, in talking about himself, said something that is of wider application. He said, I have found a law that when I want to do good, evil is always present. He was talking about himself, but it's something that can be applied generally. Yes, there's good in the world too, but I want you to know that evil is always present.
It's true.
So how could it happen here? Because evil is always present. We live in a fallen world. Jesus himself said that Satan is the prince or the ruler of this world.
That's true.
Jesus said that.
Yeah.
And he said it on multiple occasions. Mm-hmm. That Satan is the prince of this world. Paul said to the church at Corinth that Satan is the god of this world. How could it happen here? I'm going to turn back to Revelation chapter 12. And verse 12. And there it says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of what? The earth and of the sea. Why? For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. How does it happen here? How could it happen here? This is a fallen, sin-sick world.
Yeah.
The devil is the prince of this world, the god of this world. He's come down to this world having great wrath. And we know, as Peter says, and he walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour.
Yeah.
And we know that Jesus says he comes only but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How could it happen here? That's how it could happen here, and that's why it happens here. But what about the other thing? Where is God? What do you mean, where is God? He's on his throne and he's in heaven. Simple. He's on his throne and he's in heaven. Why isn't he helping here? Why does he allow this? There's some things that there aren't easy answers to. I wish we could always have an answer to everything and tie it up in a nice package with a nice bow and present it to you, and then you can live happily ever after. But how many of you know there are some things on this earth and some things in this life that we just aren't going to understand?
It's true.
The Bible says we know in part. That means we know some. So there are some things that we aren't going to know all the answers to. So Why does God allow this? I don't know. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7, he said, he talked about the mystery of iniquity that's already at work. The mystery of iniquity. In other words, there's some stuff, there's some bad things and some things that are happening that why they happen, I don't know. It's a mystery of iniquity. If you think about it, we read the book of Job and we know what happened to Job. We know how Satan was allowed by God to take out Job's children. To destroy Job's businesses. To afflict Job in his body. To drive a wedge between Job and his wife. We know God allowed this. We know God saw this. I said, where you been? I've been walking up and down the earth. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? We know the story. But have you ever stopped to think that even though we know God said, have you ever considered my servant Job, that we don't know why he allowed it? Do you know it never explains why he allowed it? He just did. He didn't say, I'm allowed this to happen to Job because we don't know why God allowed what happened to Job, and we don't know why God allows certain things to happen to us. Certain things are above our pay grade. There's no easy answers. Maybe part of it is the fact that God has given free will to man and he's not taking it back. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So if God has given man free will, he's not taking it back. So with that free will, we can choose to love each other and to love God. And some people, with their free will, choose to do some other evil things. Why does God allow it to happen? No easy answer. Maybe, though, some of those things that we speak as platitudes really have some truth to it. That there is such a thing as a greater good. What do you mean by that? Well, the Bible does say all things work together for good. But no, we don't want to think about something like this working for good, because how in the world could it? Well, if you look at it from the eternity of a God who knows all things, who calls the end from the beginning, a God who knows how every domino all across this globe is going to fall from eternity past up until the time that Jesus calls all his faithful home, that God may see how this fits into a plan in ways that we could never see. I know that doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies, but there are some things that just aren't easy to put in a package. If God is God, then why didn't he stop it? Why doesn't God stop evil? Who told you that he doesn't? How many acts of evil has God stopped? Do you know? How could you? Because he stopped them. So before you say, why doesn't God stop things, you have to stop presuming that he doesn't stop things.
Yeah.
You can't prove a negative. Amen? It didn't happen. And if you don't know if the hand of God wasn't there, it would have happened. So don't be so quick to criticize and say, why doesn't God stop evil? Because I believe that a good and kind and gracious God that I know and serve stops evil all the time. Every day. But some is allowed. And why? I can't put that in a nice package for you. But I do know this. If you're a Christian and you're a believer, it is so important for us to have an eternal perspective.
Yeah.
Because it's downright confusing to have eternal life and yet have a temporal perspective. I'm going to say that again. It's downright confusing to be the possessor of eternal life. And eternal life is not something you get. It's something you have now. And this is life eternal, Jesus said, that you know God. How many of you know God? Amen. Then you have eternal life. But if we have eternal life now, then it becomes very confusing to have a temporal or temporary perspective. In other words, to be an eternal being and yet see and understand and process things only from the realm of the temporary is going to cause problems and confusion and disillusionment. And so it's so important for us as eternal beings, those who have eternal life, those who know God, to have an eternal perspective. And from the perspective of eternity, we need to understand something. And this is not about something that's going to get you shouting and jumping and saying, preach on, brother, and yell and scream and go around the church. But how many of you know that sometimes it's the listen, Jesus didn't say messages that make you run around the church would set you free. He said what? The truth.
Yes. Yes.
Will set you free.
Yes.
And what is truth? My word, thy word is truth. And forever, oh God, your word is settled in heaven. And so from an eternal perspective, we need to understand something about this Christian faith of ours. And in this world that we live in, suffering is part of the drill.
Yeah.
I know. Hurry up and get me out of here, brothers. I gotta get to the front. This is bringing me down. But if you listen, it'll lift you up. Because if you listen, it will help you, not only in situations that we're going through now with this recent violence, but also with things that are in your life too.
Exactly.
Suffering is part of the dream. From the perspective of eternity, suffering is part of the drill. God never said and never promised to anyone that they wouldn't suffer. His own son suffered. He suffered, bled, and died. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. And Jesus himself promised us that we would suffer. Peter even said, think it not strange when you do suffer.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't hide the fact that suffering is a part of the drill. It's part of it. It's part of it. But we also understand something from an eternal perspective, that God is able to use suffering to bring about change that otherwise would never take place.
True.
There are some people right now who are better people or on the pathway to being a better person because of what they suffered.
That's true.
If it was up to me, if it was up to you, I'm sure we would do it differently. Yeah. We would just have a school of this is how you be a better person. And we would say everybody needs to go to that school. Because we would rather teach people how to be a better person. Okay, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, everybody take out your notebooks as we continue with our course. This is the course of how to be a better person, 101. If you're in the wrong class, if you're supposed to be in how to be a better person, 102, that's in the classroom next month. This is 101.
Yeah, we'd rather just teach people and show people. We'd rather have flashcards. We'd rather make PowerPoint presentations so that we can put our little thing in and we have a little pointer and showing and have nice pictures of people smiling and laughing and becoming better and flowers and all these things. That's the way we would do it.
Yeah.
But we're not God. Because God knows that even if we got the diploma and everything else, that change and that transformation would be more superficial. And God is interested in doing a deep work in people.
Yeah.
And so suffering comes, and God is not pleased when people suffer. We have a Savior who, when they were crying at Lazarus' tomb, he cried too.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
So he is not looking at the suffering of people and the suffering of his own and with some disinterest. He cries too. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities.
Yeah.
So he understands something. Yes, suffering is going to be here, but he's such an awesome God that he and only he can take that suffering and make something good come from it.
Yes.
And there are some people right now who are better, who are doing things that they never would have done, who are making contributions they never would have made, who are reaching people they never would have reached, only because they suffered something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They suffered a loss. They lost a child. They lost a parent.
Yeah.
They lost a spouse.
Yeah.
They lost a loved one. They lost their house in a fire. They lost their job. They lost all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And it changed them.
Yeah.
But before the change came, they suffered.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
And yet they're a better person today doing better things that they never would have done had they not gone through the crucible of the suffering and had a God who could take that suffering and make something good come from it. But that's from an eternal perspective. If you're looking at the temporary perspective, then all you see is the suffering, the pain, and the misfortune of life. The other thing from an eternal perspective is to understand that no matter how long your suffering may be, the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And lest anybody think that that means you only want to cry for 8 hours.
Right.
Understand that the Bible says that 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. And a day is 1,000 years. Don't think of that night. Some nights, amen, some people have been weeping for many a night in the temple, amen, right? But joy does come in the morning. We understand something, though, that no matter how long your night may be, from the perspective of eternity, it's still a very short time.
Yeah.
I think about our own situation. We lost Joseph at 22 years of age in a car accident. 4 years ago, suffering ever since. And at the time, 4 years ago, we were roughly, 52? Well, I was. That's when I was 21. 52. But if we were to live to, let's say, 90, that would be 38 more years of carrying around that pain. I mean, 38 years is a long time.
Yes, it
is. From his earthly perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But from the perspective of eternity, 38 years is not that long. So, if I go through 38 years of pain and agony, and we go through 38 years of pain and agony on this earth, but through that suffering, God does a work in us that never would have been done elsewhere. That He now does something in us that makes us better. That He does something in us that now makes us do greater things. He does something to us that now allows us to reach people we never would have reached. He allows us to do things that we never would have done. And the trade-off is 38 years, but from the perspective of eternity, it's not really... How can you say 38 years in the perspective of eternity is a long time? It's not. Oh, don't get it, brother, wrong. Because I still would not have accepted the bargain. Don't get it wrong. But see, God never asked my opinion, because if He had, He knew what the answer was going to be. Find somebody else. But God doesn't go around asking opinion. He didn't ask Job's opinion. He didn't ask my opinion. He's not going to ask your opinion. Because He's just going to look at things from the perspective of eternity and know, yeah, for 38 years or 40 years or 50 years or whatever your individual situation may be, you may have to walk around with this pain. But if you allow Me to change you in the suffering, you will know that you're going to spend eternity with Me and with that loved one that you lost, and you will, in the meantime, do some things in the earth that you never could have done, transforming other people's lives, bringing other people to Me, bringing other people into the kingdom that never would have gotten there because you wouldn't have the time to talk to them, because you weren't that kind of person before you went through your suffering. It ain't my kind of bargain that I would make. It ain't the kind of thing I would sign up for if God was looking for volunteers. I need someone to go through this so that other people and other sides of the world can be changed and transformed. Who would volunteer? That would be my reaction. I wouldn't have signed up for it. I don't care how long, God would have just kept me there. I'd have been like those kids who, their mother, amen, saying, "You ain't getting up from the table until you eat all your potatoes. You ain't getting up from the table until you eat all your spinach." And them kids, sometimes them kids just wait you out.
That's true.
They start singing and they make the parent mad. Because they like, I'm fine. They over here singing, "Eaty, meaty spider without the water spout." And the parent getting mad because you're supposed to be sitting there suffering. And you like, "This is no, I'm not eating." I would be just like that. God be waiting for me. I'd be the eaty, spider. I would not have raised my hand for that assignment. Wouldn't have done it. But from the perspective of eternity, can I really argue that 38 years is not a long time? I can't. Not from that perspective. From the perspective of, I become better, but here's the trade-off. I see my son for the rest of my days, and I spend time for the rest of my days, and if I got to go through it, then if this is what You have for me, Lord, then I'll go through it. I wouldn't have signed up for it. I wish there was a better way, but You're God. And I can't accept You as God only when You bless me and then question You when You do stuff that I don't understand, and then now I want to shake my fist at You. Either you're God and you're good, or you're not.
Amen. Amen.
So then what do we do? I think one of the things we have to understand in times like these And in times when people go through personal tragedies, it's to understand something. We have to come to an acceptance that there are no easy answers. Don't give them and don't look for them. Mm. Too often people try to find easy ways to comfort folk.
Yeah.
By telling you silly stuff. That God was missing an angel,
yeah.
And he called your loved one home. Take that silliness out of my face.
Yes.
Amen.
There's nothing true about that.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as a missing angel.
Huh. That's right.
Amen. That's just nonsense.
Exactly.
Don't say that. There are no easy answers. Accept the fact and the truth that you can't give somebody an easy answer that's going to fill the hole that is now permanently in their heart.
Amen. Amen.
There's no easy answer for you to look for to fill the hole in your own heart. Is that a hard truth? Yes. It's hard, but it's true.
Exactly.
And the sooner you accept the truth will do what?
Free.
There aren't easy answers. Don't look for them. Don't give them. In times like these, what do? We need to pray. I know we get tired of phony politicians talking about my thoughts and prayers are with you and all that kind of stuff. That's fine that they may be phony, whatever. But you still and I still should be praying.
Amen.
We still should be praying. And not just in the aftermath of this, we should be praying all the time.
Exactly.
That's what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing.
Exactly.
Right? Men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Yes. Yes.
So we should be praying all the time, putting on your whole armor of God.
Yes.
For what reason? So that you may stand against the evil one. And having done all, to stand. We need to pray. We need to resist the devil. Because if he's in the earth, if he's the prince of this earth, if he's in the earth, if he's down here on earth, and he's filled with wrath, then you and I have to resist him.
Yes.
We have to resist him. Because the Bible says if we resist him, we'll make him flee. And the bottom line is this. Don't give the devil more dwelling places on earth. You hear what I said? Don't give him more dwelling places on earth. Because I believe that some of these people who do some of these evil things, or all kinds of evil, because it all comes from the devil, that somehow he got a hold of them, got a hold of their mind, got a hold of their thoughts, got a hold of their heart, and then they go and they do stuff that he's whispering in their heart to do. Well, don't let him get in you. No vacancy. This heart is occupied by God. No vacancy. No room for you. My life is dedicated to the Lord. I don't have time for your evil whispers. I don't have time for you telling me to get somebody back. I don't have time for you telling me to get revenge. I don't have time for you to tell me to lie, cheat, and steal. I don't have time for that, devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. Resist him. Mm-hmm. And make him flee. Do you know that when the 70 disciples came back, they said, man, oh man, we was kicking Satan's butt. And Jesus said, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of the sky. He told them though. He said, but don't you be so proud that you have that you have authority over the enemy. He said, be happy that your name is written and goes alive. But we focus on the last part. Be happy that your name is written in the book of life. But don't overlook that first part though. He was telling them, don't be so happy that you have authority over Satan. You have authority over Satan. You have authority. And he said, that's not the biggest thing. But it is a big thing. How many of you know that? So we should pray. Why? Because we have authority over Satan. We can resist him and make him flee. We can stand, therefore, and keep standing. So we need to keep praying, y'all. Amen? What do we do in times like these? We have to keep praying. And as I said before, we got to keep our vessel Satan free. Amen? We should have a Satan t-shirt. This vessel is Satan free.
Yeah.
Amen? People talk about, what, is it gluten free? I ain't gluten free, but I'm Satan free. How about that? Amen? This vessel is Satan free. No traces. Amen?
Amen.
Organic. No, none of that stuff. We got to keep our vessel clean. Why? So that we can resist temptation, so that we can continue to do good works, because our goodness, amen? How do you overcome evil? How does God say you overcome evil? With what? Good. And so here's the thing. Yeah, evil's in the world, but if more of us keep ourselves Satan-free and continue to do good things, we would make inroads over some of these evil things. We would give people some hope and some encouragement, some strength. If we continue to keep ourselves Satan-free, we'll love people. Be examples of love. People will be inspired by that. It says, listen, let your light so shine that others may see your good works. But we got to keep ourselves Satan free. What else do we do in times like these? We got to continue to point people to Jesus, man. But folk messing around, even people who call themselves going to church, they messing around, playing around. Other people think they got all kinds of time. Man, I'll come to the Lord later. Later sometimes never comes. We got to point people to Jesus, because Jesus really is the only hope in this sensitive world. He's the only hope. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, the hope of God's revealed goodness, right? And it's through Jesus that God says, I will give you a future and a hope. He's the only true hope in this world. It's not your job, it's not the economy, it's not who's in political office, it's not your friends, it's none of that stuff. All those things can change and be taken from you. The only true hope we have is Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And we got to keep pointing people to Jesus. Amen. Some of these same people who have all these deep-seated issues, Jesus can solve them. Jesus can deliver them. Jesus can save them. Salvation is of the Lord. We got to point people to Jesus. And we point them there not just by picking up his Bible and trying to hit them over the head with it, but we do it most of all by being that epistle that they can read. For some people, the only Bible they're going to read is you.
Yeah, true.
But I believe the most important thing we can do is to let people know that in times like these, there is a God. God is real. God is real. God loves us. And God is with us, even or especially in times like these. But we got to seek it.
Yeah.
Amen. We got to seek it. And God said, He said, you will seek and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. We got to seek him. And so as we go through these things, as this country goes through these things again, and Brother James, you were talking about, you know, losing loved ones in your family, and other people have done the same. We lose loved ones. Part of life is, to me, the part of life that stinks. I'm just going to say it. Amen. And for me, that's the part of life that stinks. People that you love, people that you you want to be with and spend time with. You know what I mean? There's this thing called death stinks, amen. But from an eternal perspective, we know something. Death has no stain. Mm-hmm. But man, it still hurts when you got to walk around this earth without it, amen.
True, man.
It still hurts. That pain is real, amen. Ain't no phony, fake thing. There's no thing in figment of imagination. It's real. How many people, can you just imagine when we talk about the people who lost their lives in the most recent acts of violence here, and we can count them up, but do you know how many countless other people have been affected?
Right.
How many people at home are just crying their eyes out now, not believing? How many children are now saying, what do you mean, Mom? What do you mean, Dad? What do you mean? How many spouses? How many parents? How many siblings? The ripple effect of things like this runs so deep. We can't be playing around, Pete. Who can help in a situation like this? In times like these, only God. And so we got to point people to the Lord. And that's why we read the scripture when we started out today. Because see, there is a day coming when God is going to wipe all tears from our eyes. How many of you know that? There's going to come a day, amen, when there's no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. And there's going to come a day where there's no more pain, where all the former things are passed away. God said it, and after he said it, he said, write these things, because what I'm saying, these words are true and they're faithful. And we have to hold on to them. Is it easy? No. Is it going to, in the meantime, keep your eyes from just welling up in tears at just the slightest remembrance of a loved one that's gone on? No. But it can still be your anchor in the midst of the storm. And in times like these, that's what we need. And the only anchor of our soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is nothing else, and it's no one else. And so we as Christians, we have to make sure we don't get caught up in all the stuff and how the media wants to portray stuff. We have to be a beacon on top of the hill, shining out the light of truth and the light of God's love and all of those things, because that's going to help people in the end get through their midnight hour. Amen. And so let us keep at it, though, amen, and not just wait for things like this. We just have to continue to keep our vessels built up, and amen, and stay before God and get the comfort that we need. And God made a promise that we can comfort others with the same comfort by which he has comforted us. And so we just want to continue to stay in his presence, amen, and continue to trust and believe in him. So, listen, be mindful as you pray, as you go before the throne of grace, be mindful of all the people, I mean, who are hurting today like nobody's business, amen, because I was just going to the store, I'll be right back. Don't try to make sense of it, because ain't no sense to be made out of that. No sense. Amen. But as it was said earlier today too, cherish those people you got. Amen. But no man, no woman knows the day that the Lord called them out of this earth. So cherish that. And, you know, not in a morbid sense, but in a happy sense. Be glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're home. Glad you're here. Glad I'm talking to you on the phone. Glad. That'd be on your lips all the time. Glad to see you. Glad to hear your voice. Glad to see you this morning.
That's right.
I'm glad to hear you snoring last night. But at least you were here. Stop criticizing your husband for snoring. Be glad that he snores. and that you're able to hear. Amen.
Amen.
He's still there. Sometimes you gotta let the thing that people do that get on your nerves just turn it around and be glad that you're able to experience it, because that means they're still here.
Exactly, that's true.
That's true. Glory to God. Well, let's be mindful, amen, and prayerful for those who've lost loved ones, amen. And understand, too, that it's not just in these well-publicized events, but it's happening in ways great and small. You know, accidents that are going to go unreported, deaths that are going to go unreported, losses that are going to go unreported. You know what I mean? The media doesn't cover everything. So let's not just limit it to this, amen. We want to pray for the brokenhearted, amen?
Yes.
Amen. Let's rest on our feet and let's pray today. Glory be unto God. Awesome. Father, we love you. We lift you up right now. We just thank you, Lord. In times like these, God, we just look to you. We lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help, for our help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And Father, we thank you that you will not suffer our foot to be moved, that you, O God, will just continue to keep us as we go about our lives in this present world. Father, we are praying right now, O God, for your comfort, O God, for those who lost loved ones, O God, in these mass shootings, O God, but even those who lost loved ones, O God, in those unreported events, many times over, O God, yes. There are so many people who are walking around with heavy hearts on this morning. And it's not just because something happened recently, oh God. It could be, oh God, for a heavy heart that they've been walking around with for years. Father, we're praying right now for your comfort. We're praying right now for your consolation. We're praying right now for your peace and your strength.
Yes.
And Father God, we just ask you to be mindful of them and to manifest your presence in their lives in the exact ways that they need it, oh God. Father God, even send them, O God, people who would be sources of encouragement and strength. Father, you said, O God, that your grace is sufficient. We ask you now to send grace on 2 feet, O God. Send people into the lives of those who need it, O Father, in the name of Jesus, who can be ministers of your great grace. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are yet mindful of all of those who are brokenhearted, all of those, O God, who are suffering, though all of those who are sorrowful at this time. Father, we're mindful of them as well, and we'll continue to lift them up in prayer before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen us in our most holy faith. Help us to be vessels of light in this dark world, O God, in the name of Jesus, vessels through which your goodness will shine forth. And Father God, we believe that as we do that, we can and will make a difference for the kingdom of God and bring glory to your name. So, Father, we just bless you today, even with heavy hearts, O God, even with, O God, a somber spirit. We yet bless you, for you yet are good, and you yet are God. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.